Well, good morning, church. I want you to know that you are deeply loved by God and you are not alone. That may seem obvious, but in these days of mandatory isolation, the shadows of doubt can creep in, can't they? One of our care callers told me about a phone call where the person contacted said they felt like they were in prison. She invited that person to step outside and look up. "What do you see?" she asked. "Blue sky," he responded. He went on to describe what else he saw and then began to chuckle as he realized there was no barbed wire, no bars. He wasn't in prison. As he laughed, he said, "Young lady, you've made my day." Now, I celebrated that ministry call, but it speaks to our deep human need for community. That man could have walked outside, looked at the sky and flowering trees, turned and gone back inside, and still have felt he was in prison. The difference was the connection with another person, another voice, a community, and it made a world of difference. You just made my day. When we read, hear, and imagine today's story from Acts chapter 2, I'm struck by the essential need in God's plan for community. We live in a highly autonomous, I live my own life the way I want to live it culture. Spiritually, we see this in our emphasis on personal salvation, or we talk about my personal relationship with Jesus. Now, please understand, I'm all for personal salvation, and I am all about having my own relationship with Jesus. But in our culture, it's very common for people to see and understand their faith as a private, individualistic thing, and thus, often, there's no need to be in community, the church. In Acts chapter 2, this small band of Jesus followers swells to over 3,000 Jesus followers. How does Peter, the preacher of the day, respond? He doesn't say, "If you made a decision to follow Jesus today, please stop by this table and pick up some literature before you head back to your home, village, or city." He doesn't say, "This is great. I'm glad you're a follower of Jesus. Now go out by yourself and share Christ with others." No, the story tells us they were immediately enfolded into the life of a larger and diverse community. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 tells us, quote, "they devoted themselves," unquote. Now, I want you to just think about that word, devoted. When we say, "Oh, they're devoted to each other," or "she's devoted to her career," or "he's devoted to his kids," or "they're devoted to their sports," what do we mean by these statements? We mean that their spouse, their career, their kids, their sports are the primary object of their attention, affections, time, and energies. They're making a serious, intentional investment into the people, relationships, or things to which they are devoted. Friends, this story in Acts tells us that the resurrection of Jesus intentionally seeks to create a community of the devoted. This community represents the new humanity God is seeking to create, a new humanity that is diverse and devoted to the Lordship, the full leadership of Jesus in their lives, and who together give witness through their lives and community to what the world looks like when heaven comes to earth and the Lord's prayer is fulfilled. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, elsewhere in the New Testament, this new community is called the New Israel. That's Pauline language. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're called to be part of this new community that Peter refers to as, quote, "a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order to proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." These labels and images all point to the community of Jesus' followers to be a new expression of God's people who are blessed by God in order that they might then be a blessing to the world. So in God's eyes and in the purpose of the resurrection, the church, the devoted community of Jesus' followers, is really, really hugely important. So what does this devoted community look like? Well, the story in Acts chapter 2 gives us a snapshot. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. But it goes on to say, wonders and signs were being done. People would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now, that's quite a descriptive picture of the devoted community. Now, clearly, one part of being in the devoted community was the formation of people's lives through scripture, teaching, and prayer. Think of this as preaching and Bible studies in large and small group settings. They prayed together using the already well-known rhythms of corporate Jewish daily prayer, from which we still today have what's called the Liturgy of the Hours, special times for stopping in our day, preferably joining with others, to pray. Now, in our Protestant tradition, we still have a form of the Liturgy of the Hours. We just call it morning praise and prayer and evening praise and prayer. You can find these in the back of our United Methodist hymnal. Now, we might expect scripture, teaching, and prayer to be marks of the devoted community. But I love it that the story uses these words and phrases too. Fellowship, breaking bread at home, ate their food with glad and generous hearts. Folks, this diverse community of people hung out with each other on a regular, habitual basis. They did life together. It was spiritual. There was prayer, Bible, and other small group gatherings, but they also enjoyed eating and drinking, going to the local tulip festival and blueberry picking together. They went camping, canoeing, and hiking together. They played golf and watched sports in person or on their version of Roman Empire ESPN TV. They grilled out on their Memorial and Fourth of July days. They worked on cars, home, and yard projects together, and they had a great time doing it. Glad and generous hearts. It was in these times of doing life together that they really learned about each other's families, their backgrounds, the ups and downs of married life and parenting, and celebrated and mourned the seasons of life. In these groups, they shared about job opportunities, job victories, and job frustrations, the anticipation of retirement, the joys of living retirement, and the concerns about getting older. And by doing life together, they bonded together. They became their own versions of MASH, Cheers, Friends, or This Is Us, these TV shows that demonstrate our longing for a devoted community. Folks, just think about all the stuff you've journeyed through in life already. Now think about being surrounded by a devoted, glad, and generous community of Jesus-loving people amidst all those life experiences. Never alone, never isolated, always supported, always the community of grace to hold you when you weep, set off firecrackers and sparklers when you rejoice, and yes, lovingly hold you accountable for your life in Jesus and the flourishing of your relationships. The resurrection gives birth to a devoted community in which we are formed through scripture, teaching, and prayer, and in smaller groups, bands of friends with whom we do life and with whom we share glad and generous hearts. This is a huge part of our Wesleyan Methodist heritage. Wherever John Wesley preached, He would unite people together in devoted communities called class meetings and bands and even special bands. These were small groups that regularly met for prayer and study and accountability for their life with Jesus and their other core relationships. It was in these groups that joys were celebrated and the weight of sorrows was borne by all. It was in these groups that loving and generous hearts expanded and lives of selfishness were diminished. People's lives and families were transformed by these devoted communities of the Methodist movement. Now, there's one more thing for us in this story, and I love this. Here it is in verse 47. Right after it says, glad and generous hearts praising God, it says this, devoted community had, quote, the goodwill of all the people, and day by day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Friends, when folks not in the devoted community saw, heard about, and experienced the devoted community, they wanted in on it. They wanted what these people had, and of course what they had was a relationship individually and corporately with the risen Jesus and the life of heaven on earth. All of this was found and experienced in the devoted community. I believe that's still true today. I believe that people are hungering for real acceptance, real faith in a real God, real reconciliation, real forgiveness, real purpose and mission that makes a difference, not only in the life of an individual, but in their relationships and a difference in the world around them. But we're a small and aging devoted community. Our better days, someone might say, are behind us. We just need to take care of each other. Well, they'd be partially right. But do you remember our conversations with Cornerstone before this pandemic thing showed up? We have an opportunity for a renewed, healthy, vibrant, devoted community. One of the great and perhaps greatest strengths of Cornerstone is their small group ministry, finding a variety of ways to encourage people into small groups where life change can really take place. They have care groups, life groups, married groups, groups for men and groups for women. They have young adult groups, singles 40 plus groups, adults 60 plus groups, parent groups, hiking groups, book talk groups, a men's cornhole group, a women's yoga group, and more. Cornerstone is constantly looking at how they can connect people beyond the large group worship experience into smaller groups, communities where relationships are formed, people become known and are cared for, where Jesus can really develop them into his new creation, and all of this as they do life together with glad and generous hearts, praising God. Remember the man I mentioned who said he felt like he was in prison? I wonder how many people feel that way on the northwest side of Grand Rapids, even without this virus thing. I wonder how many people are longing for something more, something real that can give them more life and a greater purpose than a decent job and enough entertainment. Adoption by Cornerstone can be for us the next chapter of life and mission that will bless not only us, but bless the neighborhoods of our west side, the best side of Grand Rapids. Until that day, we can still be the devoted community to each other and our neighbors around us. The resurrection of Jesus calls us to this. But we can also prayerfully look forward to the possibility that God is at work, carving out, forming, fashioning a relationship with Cornerstone that will mean a new chapter of vital ministry mission through a devoted community rooted in the resurrection of Jesus. Please join me as we pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you that in the resurrection of Jesus, your Son, you show us that there is much more to life. You have pursued us. You have overcome the disease of sin itself, defeating it ultimately in the resurrection that we might have life abundant and eternal. Now you call us and empower us to be new creations, a new community of the devoted, devoted to you, devoted to one another, and the world community that you love. Thank you for those who have shown this devotion to us, family members and friends who have loved Jesus and done life with us with glad and generous hearts. Holy Spirit, we pray, strengthen us, especially in these days, to be this devoted community now to one another. May we unlock the prison doors that life and others have forged so that people might be free in Jesus and join us in this devoted community of Jesus followers. Lead us as we look beyond this pandemic to a new chapter of faith, community, and ministry as possibly part of the expanding Cornerstone community. In Christ's name we pray. And all of God's people said together, Amen.